Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
The stock market, we're seeing repositioning take place. What is that repositioning?
Well, I think I've talked to you and your listeners before. There's a big rotation going on from growth to value. Growth being all the high-flying tech stocks that, while they had revenues, didn't really make money. And so they're growth stocks. Problem is, in an era of rising interest rates, growth stocks get hurt because they have to borrow money to stay in business. And as interest rates go higher, that really weighs on their finances. So money's rotating out of that sector and going into growth. Going into value. And one of the biggest recipients has to be energy. I just had a column on the WealthWave site just on Thursday morning about how money is flowing out of the tech holdings of the S&P 500 and flowing into the energy holdings of the S&P 500. And I don't think it's done yet. I mean, there's a long way to go. Because tech, the S&P 500 is so overweighted to tech right now that it's like, I mean, that's the mother of all Zeppelins right now. Technology makes up 28% of the S&P 500. Energy only makes up 3.7%. So I'm not saying that they'll equal out. What I'm saying is, if even if only a small slice of that money continues to flow out of tech and into energy, that's going to send those stocks much higher.
With energy, what's uranium doing?
Well, the prices of physical uranium keep zigzagging higher. I mean, well over $60 a pound now. That's on the spot market. The stocks are having a bit of an issue, and I'm not sure really what it is. I mean, we've seen government support. We've seen announcement of more nuclear reactors going to be built. I'm not sure what the problem is. But even one like, say, Cameco, which actually, you know, has production, has all sorts of things going for it, it's having a terrible day on Thursday, down more than 8%. Now, since that's one of the positions in my Supercycle investor portfolio, I'm not pleased with that. I'm not actually sure why. Because, I mean, do people think peace is going to break out in Ukraine? Or else do they think other things could go wrong, which could maybe keep Russian uranium off the market? I would bet on the second choice. And so I think that that any sell-off in uranium is a buying opportunity. That's not one of the commodities that I'm really focusing on right now, though. Right now, we are focusing on oil and gas and also agriculture.
Now, oil, they thought wouldn't last long when it reached its peak this year, but it really has stayed over $100 for a long time now.
Yeah, and I think it could certainly continue to do so and go higher. My target on oil within a one-year time frame is $138 per barrel. Now, it's only a little higher than the high that it hit in March, so maybe people think I should set my sights higher. But, you know, once we get up there, that'll start to impact demand and stuff like that. So that's my working target. Natural gas is where I'm actually expecting more of a move because my target on U.S. natural gas, and remember, you have to talk about which market you're talking about because Europe pays much more for natural gas than we do. My target on U.S. natural gas is $12. And as we are speaking right now, it's trading at $6.79. That's an incredible move. If you can find stocks that are leveraged to that move, I think you could do very, very well.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, gold took off a bit when the Ukraine-Russia war started, but now it seems to be slopping around again in a trading range. Do you expect it to break out again?
I would expect it to break out. The question is when. You know, I mean, because in the long run, we're all dead. Isn't that how the phrase goes?
Mm.
And I think it should be much higher than it is now, so maybe I'm not the right person to ask. I think what really lit a fire on it was when Russia started talking about the nuclear option. In his war with Ukraine, started threatening things, and I think that really scared people. We have been seeing buying in Asia and like places like that, by the way. So it's not just Europe. And so it's kind of a global thing. Right now, it seems to be calming down. One thing is that real interest rates briefly went positive recently, and so that was one of the things that was supporting gold. Gold always seems to find a stone to stub its toe on. Not really sure why. It is frustrating for me. We have some great gold positions. They're actually doing quite well, especially considering the run that we saw since February. They're doing very well. But I'm not going to sit around waiting for those to hatch into higher profits. Gold will move at its own at its own pace.
With the war on fossil fuels, you'd expect silver to be doing better as more solar projects are brought online.
Yeah, but is there really a war on fossil fuels, or is that something that the energy industry makes up because they're a bunch of crybabies? I don't think there's a war on fossil fuels. I know that we're undergoing an energy transition, which is the same way that we transition from horse and buggies to internal combustion engines. That'll take quite some time. Our kids and grandkids will still have the option of internal combustion engines. That's what I believe. Though maybe in our grandkids' time, most of them will be onto electric vehicles. Though there are other alternatives, and of course, I think I've talked to you about this before. I'm really disappointed that we haven't given hydrogen more of a choice. It's something you can produce not exactly cheaply at the moment, but once we got economies of scale in there, you can produce it pretty easily. The tanks they have do not blow up in an ordinary car accident. You have to do something horrific, in which case the car would probably be exploding anyway. Mm. So maybe EVs are the future. Maybe it's a mix of things, which is more likely. It'll be a mix of all kinds of things. So, you know, I mean, we'll see how things go, but I think that the jury's still out. The future hasn't been written in the energy markets by any means, and things could go all over the place. That's part of what makes it exciting, right, is that we're making bets on individual things that could or could not work out. But right now, I'm going to come back to what I talked about earlier, the rotation from growth to value. Many energy stocks are value stocks. They pay nice dividends. They raise those dividends. And so they're going to be attracting money anyway, combined with what we're seeing going on in the oil markets right now and the fact that a commodity bull market started 2 years ago. You know, that's a 1-2-3 triple whammy of good news for energy stocks, select energy stocks, the ones that pay dividends, that are actual producers. So now they're like coining money. And so I think they could do extremely well over the next year.
Agricultural commodities. Ukraine was called the breadbasket of Europe. What's going to happen with food prices, with inflation already running around 7% in Canada and the U.S.?
Yeah, we've already made the bet on much higher food prices over the course of the next year. I think we're going to have a lot more follow-up from what's going on in Ukraine. I don't expect the war there to end anytime soon. And, of course, that ties up not only Ukraine's grain exports, because its ports have turned into war zones, and all the farmers are out fighting. They aren't growing. but that also impacts Russia's grain exports. Now, they'll still be able to sell to Africa and stuff like that, India, places that will still buy their grains, places that need to. But I expect higher prices, not only because of the war, but because of forces that were in place already. You know, I mean, that's why I see doing things like raising interest rates in response to higher food and, like, energy prices. That's just stupid. Now, that would affect home prices, but not energy prices and not food prices. Those things will not be affected by higher interest rates. So we'll just have to see how it goes. Speaking of housing, by the way, we are seeing that the scales are starting to tip, and that's really slowing down now, basically due to higher interest rates. So that was the effect of raising interest rates, is it's slowing down the red hot, I would say too hot, housing market. I know a nice young guy, lives here in West Palm Beach, and he has to move to Ohio. He has a job where he can work anywhere, right? But his rent here in West Palm Beach went up by $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month, he can't afford that. He has a friend in Ohio that he's planning to move in with, and so he's going there. But we have a real housing crisis in this country. I know there's a lot of not-in-my-backyard stuff going on, but we need to build low-cost, affordable housing for working people. It's crazy that we aren't building more of it, because there's obviously such a demand for it. And, you know, that in itself would keep the economy going along. We just have to agree that we can build these housing units and start building them.
Sean, anything else that we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Not really. It's a really confused market, so don't feel you have to trade. But I still think we have higher prices ahead of us, despite all the doomsaying out of Wall Street. God, they've been wrong on so many things. So they're probably wrong on this, too. I would avoid most tech. Some tech actually does make money. Chip makers, for example, those are cash machines right now. But most tech is not in a good place simply because those are growth stocks. And we have started the rotation, a big rotation, from growth to value. So I think you should keep value in mind when you look at your portfolios, when you look at new potential picks for your portfolios. And you want something that actually generates cash flow. And if you do that, you're halfway there. Because if you do that, you're already smarter than half the people on Wall Street, because we see them still going in and buying tech. I mean, can you believe people bidding NASDAQ right now? What's the point of that? You know, NASDAQ became so popular when it was the only game in town. But now it's not the only game in town. Now there's so many streaming services, you're damn right that thing's going down. It's going lower, I believe. So we'll have to see how that goes. But going back to my point, we are seeing a big rotation from growth to value. If you get on the right side of that, you'll be doing yourself a favor. That's it.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you very much.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, Senior Editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.